Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello, I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
And you're listening to the Nerd Party. Everyone, thank you so much for downloading, for subscribing, for linking to us, for sharing our little podcast, as well as talking to your friends about us. We really appreciate it. Our numbers are going up, our likes are going up, our reviews are going up, and it's all thanks to you for sharing it with your friends. And if you haven't already, please go to iTunes and find us by searching The Nerd Party and giving us a rating. And if you give us a 5-star review, we will mention you on the podcast. And please just email us if you do. You can email us at contact@thenerdparty.com. Now, if you were paying very close attention at the beginning of the episode, you might have noticed that it was not Matt Hansen who is introducing the show, but yet the girl, aka my wife. Now, girl.
Yes.
This is your first time podcasting, is that correct?
Yes, I'm very nervous.
And I roped you into this.
Yeah.
I pretty much didn't give you a choice.
Correct.
Because the only way that I could rope you into this is because we're talking about the X-Files tonight.
Yes.
Now, you're a big fan of the X-Files.
Yes, I am. One of the things that we did when we first started dating is we would take your laptop into the lobby of my dorm and we would watch the X-Files. So, some sentimental value.
Now, some listeners might not understand that
we had
to watch it in your lobby because we went to a Christian school.
That's true. We went to a lame school.
And that didn't allow...
touching, I'm just kidding.
Didn't allow touching boys and girls in each other's dorms. Like, we had segregated dorms. We had a thing called open dorms.
Yeah, that was a good time.
That was a good time.
I made you brownies and we would watch the X-Files.
And we'd watch the X-Files. Yeah. We were able to watch the X-Files on your actual TV once a week on Thursdays from 7 to 11.
Yeah, and hog the TV from my roommates.
And hog the TV from your roommates because that was the only time we were allowed inside the dorms.
Yes.
Now, did you ever watch The X-Files before we started dating?
I think I may have seen, like, an episode or two, but I really wasn't exposed to it until we started dating.
Now, were you thoroughly impressed by my immaculate DVD collection of The X-Files?
Yes, and it was a warning sign because of how much money you told me you spent on them, so it was one of those warning signs because you told me how much money each season was back in the day and how much money you saved up to buy each season.
I got, like, some listeners may remember this story, but I seriously got a job at 16, not because I was supposed to or to pay for car insurance or anything like that. It was solely so that I could afford these TV seasons because The X-Files was the first TV show to come out on DVD with a complete season, and they were $100 each.
Yeah, and now when you go to, like, Barnes & Noble or Best Buy, you always, like, cry a little bit in the aisle when you see them for, like, $15.
It's like $20 for two seasons.
I know, it's so sad.
It is so sad, but I have the originals, and I'm looking at them right now. We're in our media room right now.
That's true, yeah.
And
we're surrounded by all things movies.
All things movies, all things TV, and all things DC. So before we talk about the X-Files revival, one thing that we're going to talk about is the Suicide Squad trailer. Now, there's two Suicide Squad trailers, and the second one was released not too long ago. Now, my good friend and partner, Matt Hansen, is not that big of a DC fan. He's much more of a Marvel boy. Ugh. Yeah, so you have strong feelings about the DC-Marvel battle that's been going on for decades, but now has had a resurgence because of the movies.
Yeah, I really don't like Marvel. Like, strong feelings against Marvel. I feel like it's corny, and I like DC because it's a lot more gritty and real. And I think I fell asleep in the last Avengers.
You did. You did.
And I don't regret it.
I remember you woke up. You missed the origin of Vision.
Yeah, I woke up and I was like, who's that guy? He looks so weird. And I didn't even ask because I didn't care. I just kept watching.
And then you fell back asleep.
Yeah, I fell back asleep.
You missed the final battle, too, and you fell back asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, not an Avengers person, not a Marvel person, but we marathon the Nolan Batman films all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love Batman. I would have to marry you.
Yeah.
I also have a really strong connection to Harley Quinn because whenever, I don't know, we'd play a game or something of saying, like, who would your comic book character be?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, hands down, would always say, if you were a comic book character, your build, your personality would be like Harley Quinn. I'm not sure how to take that. I think it's because I'm spunky and little, but, but,
Just a little crazy,
maybe a little crazy eyes going on. I don't know, maybe. But I guess that's why I drew that character, and then kind of in our marriage we've embraced it. Like my stocking this year was Harley Quinn themed, and that was pretty awesome.
That's right. Yes, I scoured the earth. Well, not really the earth. It was mainly just Hot Topic. But
yeah, I was gonna say.
I scoured the Hot Topic, and I found as much Harley Quinn merchandise as I could, and I packed it all into one stocking.
That's right.
And
that was awesome.
There was one. Okay, so you know, well, obviously you know, but the listeners, there, you know, there's this thing coming about where. You can buy a figurine, but you don't know what you're buying. Like, but it's, you know what fandom you're
it's a part
of.
It's a big gamble.
Yeah, it's a big gamble. Like, you can spend, like, $5 and get a figurine, and you could get something, like, from the Alien universe, from the DC universe, the Marvel universe, Star Trek. Actually, I don't know if they do Star Trek yet.
Walking Dead.
Oh, Walking Dead's a big one. That, I think that's actually the first franchise that we found them in. And so you have an idea, like you know that you're going to get something from The Walking Dead, but you don't know if you're going to get Herschel, you don't know if you're going to get a zombie. Well, a part of your stocking, what I did was I got a DC wrapped figurine, and it was a mystery figurine, and I put it in your stocking, and then when you pulled it out, I told you the story of what all these things were about, and I thought it would be really funny. Like I told you, I said, like, wouldn't it be hilarious if this was Harley Quinn?
Yeah, because it would be, like, completely Harley Quinn if I actually got that.
And it was a 1 in 10 chance.
Yeah.
But I guess, I don't know, if all things were equal in the box, it'd be 1 in 10 chance of getting it. And what happened when you opened it?
It was Harley Quinn.
It was Harley Quinn, that's
right.
Yeah,
it was pretty awesome. We both, like, geeked out so hard, we were, like, screaming and yelling and... Yeah, it was awesome.
I think that's why our marriage works, is because we geek out hard together.
It's true.
So let's geek out about the Suicide Squad trailer.
Okay.
So I, you know, obviously we're both big Batman fans, so we have to be Joker and Harley fans, right?
That's true.
So I would say that you, and probably me now, is more excited about Suicide Squad than Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, well, I was from the beginning.
Yeah, I was willing to give Batman versus Superman a shot more than you.
Yeah, I just can't get over the, I don't know.
What?
I can't get over Ben Affleck as Batman. I'm just not into that. I don't know.
I completely and utterly understand. I feel your pain, because when it was first announced that Ben Affleck was going to be Batman, I was the first person online complaining like an angry fanboy. That's what the internet has become.
I know, I was there.
Yeah, you were there. I started texting all my friends going, no, why? Why? But after I saw Gone Girl, even though it's not like it was a Batman-esque role, I kind of gained a newfound respect for Ben Affleck with his acting abilities, because I think he's a great director.
Yeah, I think so too, but I think that's a different role than Batman. Like, I don't know if I'm willing to... I don't know. I'm very cautiously optimistic with that one. I don't know.
I wouldn't even say you're cautiously optimistic.
That's true. I might be giving too much. I don't know.
I'd say I'm cautiously optimistic, and you're just cautious.
I'm just cautious. Yeah.
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 So,
plus, it's not Nolan. I don't know. Nolan did such a good job. It's hard for me to.
And you found.
I'm set in my ways.
Even though you're a DC fan, you found Man of Steel very uninspiring.
I did not like Man of Steel
at
all. I like him as Superman,
mm-hmm.
and I liked Amy Adams as Lois Lane, but it's a little too much Zack Snyder for me.
Yeah, I had to. I think I've forced you enough for you to appreciate Watchmen, but I still don't know if you like Watchmen.
I appreciate Watchmen, but there are so many moments where I'm like, eh.
Yeah. If I could just have a movie
of
Dr.
Manhattan. I like the
idea
of Watchmen more. Yeah. You know what I love about Watchmen is those opening credits.
That's a sweet.
It's like slow motion, yeah.
I think that was shot with a Phantom camera. Remember this?
Yeah,
the slow motion camera.
That's my favorite part of that whole movie.
Zack Snyder actually engineered a pistol to fire in slow motion, so that he could get super slow motion. Well, he
that's pretty cool.
Engineered a gun to fire in slow motion and shot it in slow motion, so it was incredibly slow.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
I thought that was cool. So anyway, yeah, Suicide Squad trailer.
We're kind of going on tangents,
okay. But. Okay, so the first trailer was very cool. Like, you know, it had that creepy child voice thing, kind of like the Age of Ultron.
I was gonna say you love that trailer.
I do. It had that creepy childlike you know, voice of the I Started the Joke song. Mm-hmm. And it was very drone, very, very dark, very, you could tell it was going to be epic, but on a small scale, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, like it was going to be very intense and in your face, but on a small scale. And of course, we saw the introduction of Harley Quinn, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, Boomerang and, you know, Croc and Deadshot. Mm-hmm. By Will Smith, which I think, even though I'm not a gigantic Will Smith fan, like, I like Will Smith, but I think
I can see him in that role, though.
Yeah, I think so, too. Now, you and I watched the Arkham Asylum animated movie several times.
I actually asked you to watch it one time.
You asked?
Which I won a lot of points for.
You won a lot of points because I jump on that. Whenever your geeky wife asks you to watch a geeky movie,
that's true.
You don't say no.
It's true.
And so I feel like a lot, for those of you who haven't seen it, you should watch it because it's Batman Arkham Asylum. It's part of the DC animated universe. If you see the Suicide Squad trailers and you watch this movie, you will realize that, oh, they're following the same storyline.
Yeah.
And, well, I mean, we don't know
you
if
can,
it's...
Well, I mean, you can see parallels for sure.
Yeah, you're right. It's not so much following the same storyline.
I hope it does somewhat.
It was really enjoyable. I thought the story was great and I thought the style was spot on. But I like the introduction of the Joker in the first Suicide Squad trailer.
Yeah.
I
remember you were a little skeptical when you saw the image of him come out. But I thought it was interesting when you told me about the different Jokers through time and how they reflected.
That's right. The drugs of the time.
Yeah. This one was meth.
It was a fan theory that I saw online where someone created an image. And it was, I think, the first Joker, like the Adam West Joker, was influenced by acid, which was popular during the 60s. Mm-hmm. And then you had the Jack Nicholson Joker, who was influenced by cocaine, which was popular in the 80s. And then you had Heath Ledger, who was influenced by heroin, which, of course, was influential in the early 2000s, 2008. And then you have 2016 Joker, who's influenced by meth.
Yeah.
Which, after all, the Breaking Bad and everything like that.
Yeah.
And if you look at their images...
That's pretty cool.
It kind of makes sense.
It does. Yeah. And I think, actually, both of us, after we kind of heard that theory, kind of wrapped our heads more around that idea and, mm-hmm. and his image. Because at first we were like, you know, he's got...
The tattoos.
The teeth, yeah. Yeah, I think we were both like, whoa, you know, what are we doing here? But I think with time, even the second trailer, I feel like the images of him are a lot more like, okay, that's Joker.
Yeah, especially when we see him in the tux.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I was like, okay, this is a very, like, he's in a tux, he has a Tommy gun, this is very comic Joker.
Yeah, totally.
With the second trailer, we don't get too much more story.
No.
Which I think is not a bad thing.
Yeah, because sometimes I feel like they give away too much in trailers.
Like Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, like, I feel like they gave so much away that now I'm not as excited to see it. Because I've seen some poor performances.
Right? I know, it's just like you
some
have the...
stilted performances.
The first trailer and the second trailer, everybody's jazzed. And I'm like, okay, stop it there. Like, a good friend of mine, John Mills, he says, okay, like, with, like, Civil War, like, the Captain America Civil War.
Yeah.
He's like, we have that trailer, it's an amazing trailer, you have my money, don't send any more. Mm-hmm. Don't send
I'll
any
even
more
admit
trailer.
That one's a cool trailer.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Yeah. That's when you know a Marvel movie is good, is when the girl says... that she's excited for a Marvel film.
That's true.
So yeah, I'm kind of like John here, where I like with the Suicide Squad, I was like, you have me, you have my interest, you will have my money, so don't show me anything more.
Right, we can ride on that for a few months.
Yeah,
that trailer.
I don't know really how to dissect it. I think we still get the intro with Viola Davis, who plays Amanda Waller. We have that introduction. It's the same type of introduction as in the first one, just mm-hmm. with a few different lines. And then we proceed to introduce more characters, not just their imagery like in the first trailer, but a little bit more of their personality. Where,
yeah.
You know, like with...
My favorite image is of Harley Quinn with her teacup and her pinky up.
And her romance novel.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I thought that was a great addition to the trailer, you know, for the second one.
Absolutely. Now, she did have a line where she talked... That I love that where she was talking about voices in her head. Like,
yeah.
Where she says, like, oh, I need to escape and kill everybody? Oh, sorry, it's the voices in my head.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. That's not what they said. Hearty, har, har. I thought that was funny, but I felt like something was missing.
Yeah, I miss her accent.
I know.
Harley Quinn has to have an accent. And I don't think that I'm going to be happy with anyone playing Harley Quinn because I have such a love affair with Harley Quinn. But Margot Robbie's growing on me with her Harley Quinn, but mm-hmm. I still feel like, couldn't she have at least attempted some type of accent?
I want to know what the reasoning
yeah,
is.
Yeah, like, could she not do it? And yeah. That's why she kind of abandoned it.
Did the director say, no,
bad accents are worse than, you know.
That's true. I mean, the girl is in theater, and she knows, like, when she hears a bad accent, she's like, don't do it.
Yeah, like, let's get rid of all the accents.
So maybe that was the case. But the thing is, I mean, I've saw clips of her in Wolf of Wall Street, and she kind of had a
something going on.
Yeah, she had a Jersey/New York kind of accent going on there.
Okay.
So
What's the deal?
I think she can. I mean, I mean, clearly she's a talented actress. She might not be everybody's cup of tea, but she's a talented actress, and she can manipulate her voice. So she had to be able to do something.
Yeah.
So I think it was a stylistic choice not to.
Yeah.
Which bugs me even more.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I love the little idiosyncrasy they're showing of her, mm-hmm. like blowing up her hair with her, you know, when she goes.
Oh, with her.
Yeah.
She blows her hair out of her face.
Like,
yeah.
I like those little things, but I don't know. That accent might bother me.
I hope
I get used to it as, like, the movie goes on.
I think we will, but I think we'll always kind of be like,
You know what would have been better?
Her accent. But yeah, we see the characters. They're introduced one by one. And then all of a sudden, we just get just action. Like, to just inundate you with mm-hmm. action. Like, to show you that there's going to be a lot of guns, a lot of violence. Yeah. But in a very cool way. We see helicopters crash. In a DC way, where a city's not leveled.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. I hate those. I love DC because it's like, I mean, I know they're still in costumes, but you can imagine something like that happening. It's more tactile. It's more realistic than.
And that's why I'm excited about Suicide Squad, and that's why I was surprised by Man of Steel, because Man of Steel is DC, obviously, and it leveled a city, and we're both kind of like, this feels weird. This feels wrong. Let's go in a different direction.
Yeah.
And that's why I am excited about Suicide Squad, because this action feels tactile, even though we're going to have, like, somebody possessed by a witch.
Yeah, okay, that one concerns me.
That concerns you?
Yeah, because I'm like, how does that work with all the others that are... I mean, I know you have, like, a crocodile.
Yeah, we have Killer Croc.
I know, but I feel like the way they've done him, he looks more more real. Like, more like a mutation versus a giant crocodile.
Yeah, absolutely, because if you remember the Killer Croc in the animated series, he was, like, a gigantic guy.
Yeah.
With no neck.
Right.
But then in the comic books, even the even in the New 52, you've noticed, and I've noticed, that they just keep making him bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And they even said in the comics, they're like, oh, yeah, he's growing to crazy size. And he just looks like a dinosaur.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that they scaled down.
Mm-hmm. And I don't really know much about, is her name Enchantress?
I think so.
I don't know anything about her origin or anything like that. But it just feels like, when I saw the trailer and, like, all that stuff floating around her and stuff like that, I'm like, how is this gonna go? Like, the girl who it looks like she's got, samurai.
Katana
going on. Like, she looks like, okay, she belongs in that picture with, you know, Harley Quinn and all the others. But this fantasy, I don't know.
Well, there's a theory that Enchantress is actually the bad guy of the movie.
Oh.
And that's who they're fighting.
Oh.
And that she's not a part of the Suicide Squad. Then that the Joker is just kind of like an extra.
Well,
bit.
He was in the Arkham Asylum one, where he kind of just pops up and then becomes a part of the mess.
Right. The Joker was not
Which
their main objective.
Yeah. I like how he just kind of added more chaos into the picture.
And that's what Joker does.
Yeah. And I really hope that they do a good job with the origin story of Harley Quinn.
Now, we got a glimpse of that in the trailer. In the barrage of imagery that we got,
she's got the glasses and the bun.
She got the glasses and the bun, so she's still a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
We got some photos of that a couple of months ago where she's interviewing the Joker, and the Joker's in a straitjacket. So, according to the old Harley Quinn origin, that's still true. And according to the new Harley Quinn origin, it's still true. Because
that's good. That makes me happy.
In the new Harley Quinn origin, things evolve just a little bit differently. Just minor differences, if I'm remembering correctly, between Mad Love and the new 52, where she's still the Joker's psychiatrist, and Joker learns more about her and kind of presses her buttons and pushes her over the edge, and things happen in her career that kind of push her over the edge. But in the new 52, he literally throws her in a vat of chemicals, much like he was thrown into.
Oh, and in Mad Love, he throws her out a window.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that's the difference. And so the Suicide Squad has confirmed for us that they're going with the new origin story. And we see the Joker kind of bring her out.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. We saw that in the new trailer.
And there's like a mixture of red and blue, like, swirling around her head. So that's probably why her hair's, you know, dyed.
Different colors.
But then hair grows, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. I do like her tattoos, though, that are the diamond shaped.
Yes, I thought that was cool. That was a nice homage to the original costume.
I like that.
Yeah, because obviously they can't do the original costume because they haven't done the original costume for 20 years. But I was hoping for at least
a little more
pants.
Clothing.
Yeah.
It's like,
is it too much to ask for that your characters
have booty
pants?
Booty shorts. I'm sure she'll be bending down quite a bit, too.
She bent over in the trailer.
I saw that to get that purse. That was actually my least favorite part of the whole trailer was when she says,
we're bad guys.
We're bad guys. Yeah, I hated that. I hated that part.
It was so weird. I like the action because Harley Quinn totally would break down some glass and grab a purse. But
leave it at that.
But yeah, she could have said like, oh, it goes with my outfit or it matches my bat or something like that.
It's too on the nose of like, we're bad guys.
It's
like,
what we
come
do.
On.
Yeah, yeah, I'm kind of hoping that doesn't make it in the final cut. But but oh well, now we're nitpicking. But overall, we really enjoyed it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You enjoyed it?
I did.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we've been talking for a long time about the Suicide Squad trailer.
Oops, sorry.
I thought we were just going to spend a couple of minutes, but I mean, when I get to talk, when I get to nerd out this much about DC with someone on a nerd party, I'm going to take that.
That's true. That. Well, this is kind of like daily life for us.
This is daily life. listeners at home, this is pretty much just like if we're driving in a car, this is what we're talking about.
Yeah. There's usually no silence. There's usually just us.
It's filled with Harley Quinn, Joker, and Batman, and Walking Dead.
Yeah,
and
all that stuff.
Well, X-Files.
Yes.
So we established that we're big X-Files fans, and this is we just watched the revival, and the first episode is called My Struggle, which aired on January 24th. We saw it on the 25th because we do not watch live TV.
No, we don't really do TV.
No, we cut the cord long ago, and we've never looked back, and so we have a season pass on iTunes of the X-Files, so we're kind of a day behind everybody else. And another episode is airing pretty much as we speak that we'll get to watch tomorrow. The X-Files show is fantastic, the first 7 seasons.
Oh my gosh, it's so good.
but season 8, season 9, with the departure of Mulder, definitely suffered. I think everyone can agree that season 8 and season 9 are very much the weakest.
The Gish,
yeah, Annabeth Gish. I think she's coming back.
No, don't tell me that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, Annabeth Gish was a total downer for the show. But the movie, Fight the Future, is a really underrated film, I think.
I love that movie. It just is a movie. It's a good movie.
Yeah, even if you take the X-Files mythology out of it, it's just a solid sci-fi action film.
It's a great movie.
But the second outing.
The second movie?
Yes. I want to believe that was, in my opinion, an abomination.
Why?
I hated it.
I know you. Okay, but I think it would have been a fine standalone episode, but I don't. It was not movie worthy.
Well, that's the problem.
Is that what you're trying to
say? Yeah, it's not movie worthy. I thought it was boring. Like, as far as episodes go, I think it would have made a fine episode of the X-Files, but it would have been an episode where if we were doing a rewatch, we were like, "Do you want to watch this one?" I don't know.
Yeah, because I can't even think of how many times we've actually watched it.
I think we've watched it twice.
Yeah,
we saw it in the theater, and then we watched it when we bought the Blu-ray, and that's probably about it.
Probably, you know. The best part of that was though
what
them together
yeah, just your shipper heart just like beating right there.
Yeah,
now like when she like when they because
when they're in bed together, that was
like,
my favorite
scratchy
part.
Beard.
I know, I love that part.
Now they played it cool for the beginning of the movie where you're just like, are they together?
Yeah.
Are they not? Because at the end of the show they were clearly together.
Yeah, they're like messing with our heads.
And but then they're like, oh, you know, we're just screwing with you, they actually are together. Now if the second movie was about the mythology or about the alien invasion or anything like that, I would have been like, okay, we have our ending, no more, we don't need anything else. But because the movie was so poor, in my opinion, and it didn't have anything to do with mythology or the alien invasion, I'm excited about this revival because that means we might get some answers.
Yeah.
But let's talk about this first episode. So right off the bat,
we haven't talked about it yet.
We were recording this moments after we watched the episode. We did not say a single word to each other about it. Is that correct?
Correct.
So
I'm interested to see what you have to say.
I'm interested to see what you have to say. What did you think about it? Right off the bat, did you like it? Did you not?
I am kind of neutral about it. I was not excited anytime. Does that make sense? Like, I was not like, ooh, yay, it's X-Files. I don't know. I think they did a really good job of finding their character at the very beginning.
Yes.
I think I was surprised because we had watched like a little special about them talking about finding their characters and stuff like that. And I feel like they were right back where they were maybe a little more tired. They seem kind of tired, like a little older.
That's true.
But when we started and we saw the spaceship and that whole, like, we could tell that storyline was starting, I was excited. And I also liked the voiceover of all the conspiracy talk.
Very Mulder, very X-Files.
Very Mulder, very X-Files. But as the episode went on, I felt like it kept disappointing me.
Yeah, now, people listening at home, we're going to try to avoid spoilers, but it's best if you watch the episode and then listen to our podcast. But you have been warned, but we'll try to keep it light. Yeah, I kind of felt the same way, because when the alien ship crashed, it was done very well. The CGI was great.
Cool.
And then, you know, like seeing the alien's hand can go through the translucent steel or whatever it was. I was like, okay, cool. Wow, we've never seen anything like that before. We're starting with something new, starting with something fresh. And then, yeah, I was all just kind of downhill from there.
Yeah. And also, like, they were together in a movie, and now they're taking him apart. Like, what are you doing to me, Chris? Chris Carter, what are you doing? Like, come on. Just let them be. Let them be together.
I know. I feel
they're
like,
together, okay? Oh,
I feel like showrunners like to put the characters together and then rip them apart. Just to mess with our heads. I feel like, okay, the Gilmore Girls revival is coming soon.
Yeah, they better not do that to me.
I feel they're going to do that to Lorelai and Luke.
I don't know if I can do it then.
I don't know. Seriously, I don't know if I'll be able to watch if they're not together, because for 7 seasons...
I can't do it.
We were like, are they going to be together or not? And right. We did the same thing in X-Files.
Yeah, it's true.
For 7 seasons, we were like, are they going to get together? Are they not? And then they finally got together, confirmed, you know, at the end of the 9th season and reconfirmed in the movie. And in the last image of I Want to Believe, like after the credits, we see them in a canoe, in their bathing suits, waving to the camera, saying... We're together. It's done.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. And that was like the best part.
It was.
Of the whole thing. And so for them to do this to me again, to me personally.
To you. Like Chris Carter wrote it down and said, screw the girl.
Yeah, that's right.
As he's put pen to paper. I'm sure he probably did it on a laptop, but I just pantomimed pen to paper. But so, yeah, it just kind of felt disappointing. I feel like Joel McHale is really out of place.
He's Joel McHale.
Yeah. It's Joel McHale is Joel McHale.
Yeah. I like the idea of the government conspiracy, but he seems very out of place. Very like why this public image person would be talking to, I don't know. It seems very far-fetched to me.
It feels as odd as if Bill O'Reilly guested on the X-Files.
Right? That seems very strange.
And I feel like that's kind of what they were trying to go for.
Yeah.
So I don't quite understand it. And they even mentioned Bill O'Reilly. I was like, don't talk about Bill O'Reilly, because I'm thinking about Bill O'Reilly right now.
Right, exactly.
Now, with the conspiracy, they're trying to take it into a different direction. It was always, like, during the show, they always kind of flirted with the idea that everything was a lie, that they led Mulder down a rabbit hole to make him believe that there was an alien conspiracy.
And that's why I was a little confused, because I felt like we had already done this.
Yeah.
And been there, done this. Is that what you were feeling as you were watching? Because even with her abduction, if I'm remembering correctly, please correct me if I'm wrong, but that was also in the back of a van type deal, right? It was like in a...
Well, she got abducted a couple different times.
Well, that's true.
Like, there was one time that was by men.
But haven't we done this before, is what I'm saying? Like, haven't we done this whole idea of government?
I don't know what they're trying to say, because it was a big deal for the invasion to happen in 2012. Mm-hmm. That was, like, what we established throughout the show was that the government made an alliance with the aliens... So that when the aliens actually invaded in 2012, because the government knew, we're never going to survive this. Mm-hmm. We're never going to be able to resist. But if we work with them, it's better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. And so they struck a deal so that some people would survive. And that's why they created alien-human hybrids, to survive the apocalypse. And, you know, and they were trying to buy time until they could figure out how to defeat them. But now, in this episode, Mulder had, like, an offhand comment about how the instead of the countdown going to 2012, it started at 2012. And then just saying that it's not an invasion anymore.
Yeah, it kind of made me feel like they were clicking the delete key. to kind of erase what they had already established in the series.
Yeah,
that's like, kind of how it came across to me.
It's 2016. We missed the opportunity to do it something in 2012.
We should have done the movie in 2012.
So let's downplay this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt that too.
I didn't like that.
I didn't like it either. And there was one scene that was my least favorite scene in the episode, where it was just exposition after exposition after exposition, where Mulder and Joel McHale were going back and forth and saying, this is what the government does. And they have this fountain of information, and you're like, where did they get the information?
Yeah, it was too much information.
Yeah.
And I also kind of felt like they were trying to make me feel stupid, because they kept showing images of, like, riots and stuff, and it was like, you won't understand these big words, audience, so we better show you some visual aids.
It's kind of like when they have big pictures of the food in the menu.
Yeah, like, it was like,
I don't know what a hamburger looks like, so I need a picture of it.
Okay, I think I can handle this. I've watched the X-Files for a while. I'm an intelligent adult. I think I got this. But it felt like too much information. I think what bothered me is they kept using the images when Joel McHale was talking.
I know.
You know, it wasn't just a voiceover with Fox Mulder. It was like during the conversation, which felt odd.
It felt odd. That was the only thing that felt a little non-X-Files.
Yeah.
I have to admit that they did a great job of making this episode feel like the like the X-Files. It was shot...
Same font.
It was shot like the X-Files. It had Mark Snow to do the music. They even brought back Heather McDougall to edit it.
That's pretty cool.
And it very much felt like an episode of the X-Files.
Totally.
But it kind of felt like a primer episode.
It felt like they were trying to tell you a lot of information to set you up for what was going to happen. Which I understand. I mean, I'm sure.
I get that.
With six episodes.
Yeah, it's only six episodes.
It's hard to
And it's been 13 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, one thing that... This was a mythology episode, loosely. And we only have six episodes. And not all of them are going to be mythology episodes. Some of them are going to be Monster of the Week. How do you feel about that?
I love the mythology. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite part. Like, I don't remember the episode's name. Maybe you'll remember. But the one where they go to that bunker and they have, like, the different tissue samples of from, like, their smallpox vaccines.
Smallpox vaccination.
That is the perfect example of the type of mythology episode that I love. That idea of the government hiding stuff from us and, you know, doing experiments. And I love that stuff. So, I mean, I didn't mind the idea of this episode. I just didn't think the execution was quite spot on.
Right.
Like, even using 9/11, I think that's an interesting theory, but I hope they do a better job. I hope it continues to get better. Because, I mean, I enjoyed the Monster of the Week, but it was not my favorite part of the X-Files by any means.
Yeah, some of my favorite episodes are Monsters of the Week, but just part of me, because we didn't get anything in I Want to Believe... Part of me is like, we only have six episodes. Let's explore the mythology. Let's just make this a six episode arc of the mythology of what we should have gotten in 2012 or what we should have gotten with I Want to Believe. But a lot of people are happy.
A lot of the fans love the Monster of the Week.
Yeah, a lot of people are happy about that.
See, I would have been completely fine with all six being mythology. But I know there's certain Monster of the Week that you loved. Like the Victor Tombs and
Home.
Don't even talk. I had nightmares. Yes, in college, after watching that episode.
I had no idea that episode was so derisive. I went online and people are like, "Oh, this is the worst episode ever," and other people are like, "This is the best episode ever."
It messed me up. It was messed up.
I think it's absolutely amazing.
It messed with my head.
So creepy.
And then that guy that steals the fingernails off dead bodies and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
See, those were the ones that always got to me, were the ones that, like, real people acting deranged. Or,
yeah, there,
like,
really wasn't anything
creepy.
Mystical about him.
No.
I mean, they kind of made a reference that he was a demon, but he didn't really do anything demonic.
Really.
Like, he was just a creepy serial killer.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's always your go-to example. Like, the fingernails and the fingers in the fridge and everything like that.
Yeah, that type of thing is, I don't like those.
I have a feeling that you're going to use him as an example to scare our future children. Like,
probably.
Don't talk to strangers. Don't talk to strangers or your fingers will end up in the fridge.
That's right. I don't know if I'd be that cruel.
No, okay.
Poor kid.
maybe wait till they're older.
That's right, yeah.
So it felt like an X-Files episode. A lot of exposition, a lot of shift in direction.
Yeah.
And not so great acting by Svetna, or however you say her name.
Yeah, but I'm just thankful that they chose still a person that was normal looking. Because X-Files did a really good job of that back in the day, of casting people that you could actually see as being a person that you talk to, you know, in that kind of crime situation.
Average looking
people. Average person, yeah. Whereas I was a little afraid when we were about to meet her that she'd be like the supermodel, you know, showing up at the door like, I've been abducted.
I've been abducted.
Like, look at this little scar on me.
know? One minute scar that actually enhances her beauty exactly. So that she could call a beauty mark.
So true.
As she's wearing stilettos. Yeah. Yeah, like you said, the X-Files always did a great job of having average looking people play average characters. And you know, they didn't have these beautiful movie stars. They didn't have Chris Hemsworth come in.
Right.
You know,
so I appreciated that. Mm-hmm. I think that was more true to the X-Files, but could she have done a better job? Yes.
Yes. And also, what was the deal with, like, this flirtation between Joel McHale and Scully?
Hated that.
Where did that come from? And it left immediately.
I know. It was like his hand on her shoulder and then gone. Okay, can we please talk about the blood?
She is a bad surgeon.
What is going on with the blood around her neck?
Like she every single time she got out of surgery. Yeah.
She just chilling out with blood around her neck?
Every time.
And they didn't address it. I was like, they have to address it. They have to address it.
Well, I think Joel McHale mentioned it once. He said, he's like, did you have a rough day? She's like, no, just normal. That's all. That's all it was. But she had blood on her neck. Like, she hit an artery.
Right? Oh my gosh.
So, I don't understand.
I would not be doing my own blood if I had blood around my neck.
That's right. She was taking her own blood.
She was taking her own blood.
She was exposing her own veins to somebody else's blood.
Scully is not a good doctor.
Bad doctor.
Bad doctor, Scully.
See, she's used to working on dead people.
That's true. You know,
like exhuming bodies and...
She's a scientist.
Vivisection, my science.
My science.
That was my favorite part of the show is whenever she said, my science will debunk the X-Files. So... We go to a storyline where they have an ARV, an alien recreated vehicle. Is that replicant?
Replicated.
Alien replicated vehicle.
I believe that's
something
what they
like
called
that.
It. Mm-hmm.
And so it was scientists developed an alien vehicle using materials found on Earth, but using research that they stole from the government that the government took from 1947 Roswell, right?
And that's what I gathered.
Okay. They could have been a little bit clearer on that one.
Yeah.
But then the government came in and destroyed it.
Yeah, and the people.
And the people. So this was kind of gave credence to the idea that the government's been using alien technology. But the thing is, that's something that we talked about in the show a lot. Like, even in season one, they talked about that. Like, they went to an Air Force base and they found out that that triangle-shaped vehicle was there. And, like, it had test pilots, you know, human test pilots and everything like that. So I guess it's not something new, but it feels like they're trying to put a new spin on it. So... It seems very confusing.
I know. I feel like there's so many things that happened in that episode where I feel like they're trying to pretend that we forgot.
Mm-hmm.
Like we forgot about all the government involvement. And we forgot about, you know, what we had learned previously, which bothered me.
And they're trying to establish a new Deep Throat.
With the guy who...
The doctor from Roswell.
Roswell.
Who's now the old man they met at the mall.
Did you feel like that was the case?
Oh, yeah. I think they're trying to... Like, I feel like this is not going to be the last time
we
see that guy.
You don't think so?
Oh, no.
Really?
This is a classic new Deep Throat. A new X.
Okay.
You know?
I mean, I kind of got that impression, but it just seems to me like such an old choice.
Well, he was around in 47.
I don't know why the dude's gonna be older. I don't know why.
He's gonna be in at least his 80s. He's probably in his 90s because, I mean, if he was a full-fledged doctor in 47, I mean, my dad was born in 46 and he's turning 70 this year, so he'd have to be 90.
Right? I don't understand.
At least.
I know. Like, I don't think that's a really good choice for a Deep Throat.
Yeah, well.
Ready to croak.
He's ready to croak. Yeah, so I don't think that's the last that we're going to see of him. And so I think they're trying to establish Mulder having a new person to go and talk to, but who gives you no information.
Yeah.
Just says, like, oh, Roswell was a smokescreen. And even Mulder said, yeah, I've heard that before.
Yeah.
So we're not getting anything new there. I feel like they attempted to put a new spin on everything, but then they failed because we're like, this is like that time in that episode back then.
Right. That's what I felt. I don't know. I mean... Of course I'm going to still watch it.
Cause... Oh, yeah. No, I'm excited.
Yeah.
I just think it was slow out of the gate.
Yeah. But I'm willing to give him this one because I feel like it's almost like they have to make up for all the last time and figuring it all out again.
So now what do you think about, like, Chris Carter has gone on record by saying that this is going to be just like the X-Files, as in Mulder and Scully have to be FBI agents and a part of the X-Files. like officially, you know, they're under Skinner and they're back where they were 13 years ago. How do you feel about that?
Why? Why is that necessary?
I don't know. I personally don't know.
I feel like that's not necessary.
Just like, have them investigate.
Yeah, just have them investigate, like take time off or whatever, whatever. Mulder's taking time off from.
Yeah, I want to know, like, what he's been doing.
How does he eat?
Yeah, what, I was thinking that, too. I was like, what does he do for money?
Yeah. He just living lives off of Scully.
I was just going to say that. Lives off all that good...
They're not together.
That doctor money.
So, yeah.
She writes him a check every month.
She's a terrible doctor, so I don't know.
Well, apparently when you work on somebody's ear, the blood just sprays at you.
Apparently. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I think that's kind of dumb. I mean, I love the idea of... Skinner coming back, because, yeah, he looks good for his age.
I know, right? Well, Skinner's always been a very handsome, bald man.
It's true. And, yes.
Yeah.
And but, yeah, I'm surprised at how good he looked.
I feel like he's aged better than Mulder and Scully.
A little bit.
I mean, I think they both look great.
Yeah, I mean, they've aged very well.
Both of them have aged very
but
well, yeah.
I was surprised to see that Mitch had. Okay, can we talk about the cigarette smoking man?
Oh, my gosh. I almost forgot about him.
You want to forget about
him. I want to forget about him. When I heard that he was coming back for the show, I was like, okay, well, maybe it's a flashback. But it's not.
No, it's not. He has patchy skin.
He's clearly been burned.
Yes.
Because in the last episode...
Oh, my gosh.
He was shot with a missile. He was shot with a missile, and we saw him burned from the inside out.
It was purposeful so that the audience wouldn't... constantly think that he was alive, because they kept doing that to us through the series. It's like, he's alive.
They did it like three times throughout the series.
Exactly. So, this is dumb.
I agree. He's a burn victim. He's smoking through his neck. But Chris Carter specifically did this so that we would not think he was still alive. I mean, it was a
missile.
It was a missile that hit him, and the camera did not cut away.
No.
It was on his face. We saw him not just burned, but incinerated.
Gus Fring style death. Okay? He is dead.
He's gone.
Ugh.
Pisses me off.
It does me too. I mean, they can't come up with another, G-man that's, out to... mess with Mulder and Scully. They can't come up with someone else that...
I would have rather have seen X come back from the dead and be evil than Cigarette Smoking Man come back from
the dead. Yeah, because it was so... Ugh. I don't know. That really bothers me.
Out of everything, that was my least favorite thing in
the
episode.
I'm sure they're going to use something like government technology brought him
back. Like alien technology. Stolen alien technology brought him back to life. He was really just bones and dust when we found him. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I was enraged.
I'm not okay with that.
If they didn't do a literal missile in the face, maybe I would believe it.
Ugh.
But everybody knew that at the end of the episode, this was done on purpose. Yeah. So that there was no
ambiguity. He was a great bad guy in the X-Files, but his time was then. Like, he died, and there was a purpose to it, and it was time for him to die.
It was time for him to die. That was his shelf life.
Yeah.
Now he's the spoiled milk in the fridge.
Right.
That we keep going back and sipping, hoping that it's okay. But it's not. It's not.
Please tell the audience that we do buy groceries.
We do. Sometimes, folks. We draw straws on who gets to buy groceries next.
Right.
And that's why there's spoiled milk in the fridge. All right. Well, that's what we have to say. Okay, so out of 10, what would you rate this episode compared to previous X-Files episodes?
Ugh. Compared to previous X-Files episodes? Like my favorite X-File episode?
Okay, how about this?
Or like average?
I'll reframe this because I feel like you can't, like, this is nowhere close to a classic X-Files episode that's like 10 out of 10.
No.
So I don't think that's fair. So how about this? How would you rate it compared to what you were expecting to come out right out of the gate?
I'm actually cautiously optimistic when it comes to stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
I would say a 7 comes to mind out of 10, just because I get to see Mulder and Scully. But they better get back together, otherwise I'm going to be pissed.
I think that's a very generous score.
Really?
Yeah.
You think it's generous?
I was hoping for a 7.
Really?
I feel like I got a 5.
Okay.
A 5 out of 10.
Well, if I was grading it against other previous episodes that I have loved, I would have said like a 5.
Yeah.
That was what the number that came to mind.
Okay, well, we may sound like we're being overly critical on the episode, and maybe, and maybe we are, and maybe some in this room don't care. but I feel like this is a slow start, but it's an okay start. but I'm very interested in seeing what comes next.
Yeah.
And I think that's the point of an opening episode to a new chapter, is to get you excited for more. And that's what it did.
Mm-hmm.
It got me excited for more, but in a way that I don't think they expected, because I'm excited for more because I'm hoping that it'll be better.
Yeah, and I'm hoping they don't just recycle the Monster of the Weeks, too.
Yeah.
Because they did so many.
I don't need to have a Victor Toombs part three.
Right. I don't need to have an animal like that other animal that, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, again, thank you so much for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the podcasting debut of The Girl. Please go to thenerdparty.com. There you can find everything that you need to know about The Nerd Party. You can find all of our old episodes, and please make sure to subscribe on iTunes and check out our blog every once in a while. And remember, no matter what happens, the truth is out there.
Join the revolution. Join The Nerd Party.